You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Check in on the Padres, Padres-Dodgers later on today. You got four baseball games today and tonight. Lakers Heat Game 4. Phone number 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @dpshow. Say good morning to Peacock. That's where you can find us. And we're up to 375 radio affiliates. No sports talk show that has as many cities listening to it as we do. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds pretty impressive.
You said it well.
Yeah, 375. And we have some new affiliates in Lansing, Michigan, Nashville, Knoxville, Pensacola, Florida, our longtime partners in Salt Lake City and Portland, Oregon as well, but numbering 375 cities. You know who we're getting next week? Juneau, Alaska is finally coming on board. Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Juneau, Alaska. How long have I been saying to you, Paulie, if I could just get into that Juneau market?
Yeah. Mission accomplished, big guy.
We've been trying to add some Iditarod coverage to the show, and now we finally have some support.
Yep. So next week, we'll be up to 376. Juneau, Alaska. Has anybody been to Alaska? McLovin has been to Alaska.
And I've been to Juneau, and it's awesome.
You've been to Juneau.
I did an Alaska trip with my girlfriend. We'd just broken up, but booked the trip and went to Alaska with a girl I'd just broken up with a long time ago.
Look at that.
I can't believe I'm getting so personal about this. But
and you still enjoyed the trip.
I did, because it's so amazing.
Shouldn't we be saving this gold, this radio gold, for next week when we're on in Juneau, Alaska for the launch?
Well, it wasn't that good. I mean.
Yes, Todd.
Did you know he visited
there?
Okay.
Never... No,
Todd,
no.
You're better than that.
Also, Juneau is Seton's favorite movie, too, as I recall.
We're going to take
power of Iggy and the Stooges.
We're going to take that out in the rear, Todd.
You should.
Yeah, we'll edit that out.
I was thinking about not saying it in the first place.
Yeah, let's workshop this so we're ready to go for Juneau, Alaska. Because you get one shot at Juneau, Alaska. And I don't want to screw this up next week, okay? Yes, McLaren.
Haven't you been to Alaska, or is that British Columbia?
British Columbia.
And they're not the same thing.
They are not. They're really close, but I went to British Columbia to go fly fishing. And I wanted to go to Alaska to do that, but the place we went to was in British Columbia. That's where you go in, you have one of those seaplanes, and you fly in and land on the water. It was awesome. Yes, Ian.
What better way to make a debut in Juneau than let's go fly fishing, let's go land in that plane in the water, let's go do all that stuff, dude?
Okay, first things first, I reached out to Cabela and Bass Pro Shops, and I said, could you send up some fly fishing gear? And I think that that's on its way.
Yes.
So we have to start, you know, baby steps here to learn how to fly fish.
All
right.
Because
I don't think any of you guys know how to fly fish. I think maybe just a cane pole would be, you know, best thing for you guys. But if you guys are willing to try fly fishing, then maybe we could do that. God, I can't imagine what Todd would...
Okay.
Get some waders on, get out there in the water.
No,
dude,
we are getting waders.
Let's do it!
I'm getting waders for you guys.
I'm all about this.
We're going to have fly fishing, and you're going to have waders, and that means you go into the water, Todd.
Oh, that somebody doesn't come take our orders for lunch.
No, it's not a waiter. No,
I don't know what you meant. Okay. I seriously don't know what the waiter is.
Yes, Paulie.
He does not know what waiters are, by the way.
Well, I know that.
Does Cabela's make water wings for Todd? Like little puffy things on his arms?
That's the only shot that I have of going out and in the water, if I have to get that.
I can't have you out there.
Can we get Baked Alaska, by the way? We were talking about dessert earlier.
I love Baked Alaska.
Why don't we get to celebrate the new affiliate?
I've never had Baked Alaska.
Yes, you have.
Oh, you have not lived.
It's legit.
It's so good.
Is it better than tiramisu?
Definitely.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh,
what?
Man.
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I don't know if I could go home to my wife if I said that Baked Alaska was better than tiramisu. Yes, McLovin.
By the way, Todd almost died of hypothermia in Long Island. I don't know if you could take it to
Oh,
Alaska.
My God. Oh, that's right, Andy.
I had the chills, and I didn't do a very good job of hiding how yucky I was.
It was 52 degrees, and it was raining, and we were on the set of a Sandler movie. And so, Todd...
Oh, God.
We really got to do this.
He sat on a bus full of strangers.
Yes, in air conditioning.
In air conditioning.
And he was sitting next to me, and I had to shoot my scene. And then he's like... And I go, what is wrong? He goes, so cold. And now there's a woman whose job is our wardrobe. And I said, do you see that woman? She's 8 feet away.
I don't know why I got so shy. I'm usually pretty outspoken in that situation.
Yeah, and it was a woman, too. So you normally go up and talk to all the women, even though you shouldn't. But I
chat them up and, you know, never know what's going to happen.
And then he's like, I'm so cold. I said, Todd, it's raining and it's 52. And then he goes, I'm going to go on the bus.
I love the thought process, too, by the way, of someone who's clearly ill. I mean, his face was like just the palest I've ever seen. Is his like he's coughing, yeah, doing the whole thing. He's like, all right, how am I going to go make myself better? You know what? I'm going to go sit on this bus full of strangers.
In air conditioning,
like no concern whatsoever about making everybody on there sick. He's just like, oh, no, I know they're on a trip or whatever, or they're here for being extras. I'm just going to go sit on that and infect everyone.
So cold. Yes.
I walked on the bus to tell Todd we had to start shooting, and the bus is on. The driver's keeping it on, so the people on the bus, and the people on the bus have sweatshirts and jackets, but for some reason, the air conditioning's pumping. And if I didn't grab Todd off that bus, he would have been like the Nicholson at the end of The Shining. He'd be there today, frozen solid. He would not know how to get out of that situation.
And I said to you, he goes, they had the air conditioning on the bus. And I said, did you ask them to turn it off? No, I didn't think of that.
I figured everyone must have want the air conditioning on. Who am I to tell them not to have the air conditioning on? No one's complained about it.
Your wife's a snake.
You were so upset with me.
I was, because I get
you.
That was
probably top three, if I had to rank them, of angriest that you've been at me. I handled that poorly on many levels.
But I got you this role, a walk-on role in a Sandler movie. And
I was very appreciative of it. I wasn't feeling well, and I should have done something more than I was about the situation.
Thank you, Todd. Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but Seton and I had a speaking role in that movie that went away because of the rain. There, in that scene, we were sitting with Adam Sandler early in the day. Fritzy and McLovin had to go to wardrobe, and Seton and I were sitting there with Adam. He goes, come in and have some bacon. He had a big plate of bacon. And we sat there for like 20 minutes waiting for you guys to get your makeup and stuff on. And he goes, I'm going to put you two guys in the stands, and you're going to be hecklers. You're just be heckling. I think we're heckling you, Dan. You were the coach.
Yeah.
In the week of. Right. And then the rainout happened, so they had to bump that scene to the next day, and they found two other yokels.
By the way, the new Sandler movie that I'm in, Hubie Halloween, it comes out on Netflix tomorrow. And by all accounts, got good reviews. I don't know if there's awards, but I'm the school principal, and there's a food fight scene. And so that comes out tomorrow. Yes, Todd.
Do they give out like the Halloweenies? Are there Halloween-related awards for like actors in spooky movies?
I don't know.
They should have that.
They play on
every other word for awards. Halloweenies, you can get something.
Okay. Well, maybe why don't you come up with a list and give out the Todd Fritz Halloweenies?
It's like a little jack-o'-lantern on the top instead of like the Oscar head. It's like a pumpkin head.
Yes, Seton.
Hey, Todd, Juno, that was a terrible joke.
It was half-baked, the idea to even try to.
Got it. Okay. All right. I got it. Also, Amazon Music this week, the podcast, That Scene, is with David Spade, the scene in Tommy Boy.
Just call me I Did It, Todd. Back to you.
I'd like to tiramisu for the next last 10 minutes of my life back.
All right, we're interrupting you now. It's your show.
David Spade talking about the scene in Tommy Boy where he and Chris Farley are in the car and they're picking tunes, singing. So that's Amazon Music. That Scene is the name of the podcast. Yes, Todd?
Got it. I Did It, Todd. Went over pretty well on the side of the glass.
I know, but
I'm not getting that much love from
you.
You
don't have
though.
To do it. I know.
I know. You say it the second time, it loses something. But Scene's crack it up. He always, God bless him. Makes
it,
me
Todd.
Feel good. Like the Iditarod, but no, Todd, because my name is Todd. And we just got a new affiliate in Juneau, Alaska. That's what we're trying to accomplish here.
Don't make me get mad.
I'm just glad the thing up there didn't come down on me just yet.
The thing?
I hate to even give you that idea.
Yeah.
Let's send it out to I Did It, Todd.
The thing, the curtain is coming down on Todd if you're watching right now.
I asked for it.
No, you did. You asked for it.
I Did It, Todd, though.
Yeah.
Think about
there
it.
There you go. There's
you
Todd.
It. You
if
get
you're,
what I mean.
You're watching. We put the big curtain over Todd. The cone of silence there. How you doing, Todd?
I get very stokery and nervous with this whole thing. How much longer does it have to be on me?
Oh, you know what? I'm pressing the button. It doesn't. Oh, no. There it goes. It works here.
You know I don't like
all
when
right.
that happens.
All right. Welcome to the program. Already in progress. You got Lakers and the Heat coming up tonight. Man, I don't know if Jimmy Butler has ever gotten this much love. In the span of 24, 48 hours, Jimmy Butler has gotten as much love. He's probably, when you think about bubble love, not Bubba the Love Sponge, just bubble love. The Phoenix Suns got some bubble love. TJ Warren got some bubble love. Tyler Hero got a couple of days. In fact, we started talking about Tyler Hero. We got Tyler Hero t-shirts sent to us by somebody. And now Jimmy Butler, one of the great triple doubles in the history of the NBA Finals. That could all change tonight. Because LeBron might have himself a Jimmy Butler triple-double tonight. What's the betting line? Lakers giving how many, McLevin?
7.5.
Okay.
But LeBron always has a triple-double, and we wouldn't care nearly as much, right?
Oh, I know. But because Jimmy Butler did it against LeBron, that's why it's a big deal. I mean, it's the NBA Finals. But if he did this against the Clippers, it would not have anywhere near the impact. But it is a triple-double against LeBron. You know, LeBron, and look, LeBron didn't play well in the fourth quarter. And he did say, you're in trouble in the first quarter. And I love that Jimmy Butler came back and said to LeBron, you're in trouble. But do I expect LeBron and company to... Anthony Davis probably won't be in foul trouble. He'll probably have more shots than Markieff Morris. And they might be shooting better from three-point range. I don't know if Bam Adebayo is coming back. I don't think Goran Dragic is coming back, and I still expect the Lakers to be winning this. Yes, McLevin.
So how do you set a line if you don't know about Bam Adebayo, or is that really not that big a deal?
I think Jimmy Butler had a greater game because Bam Adebayo was not in the game. Because Bam is down low. Now, Kelly Olynyk is out, so you can't have Dwight Howard on the floor. Like, you changed the whole rotation there. And as much as I love Bam Adebayo, Butler was able to go down low, and they didn't have an answer for him. And so it changes a little bit. And if Bam is not playing, I expect Jimmy Butler to try to do the same thing, take advantage of some mismatches. But, you know, you try to figure these things out. It's just different trying to figure it out in the bubble. And, you know, you have a short turnaround period, which I do like. Because I remember covering the NBA Finals for the mothership. And it'd be like, there's a game on Thursday, and then there'd be a game on Sunday. And then there'd be a game on Wednesday. Like, it was just, as long as you could drag this out, they would. Now, we had travel back then. But game coming up tonight. And maybe game three was an aberration. Maybe the real Lakers show up tonight. Maybe this series is about to get a whole lot more interesting. And from the outset, that's all I wanted. I just wanted it. I wanted people to be able to see the Miami Heat and understand what a great story they've been this season. Not having Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo, they're not going to be able to see what this, you know, this true story of what they were all about this year. But Jimmy Butler is certainly getting a coming out party here. And also, we look back now. Remember in Philadelphia, dealing with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, those younger players, and he would be frustrated. Minnesota the same way. He got frustrated with the younger players there. And in Miami, those players listened to him. And I think that's been the big key. By the way, Doc Rivers was introduced yesterday, the 76ers head coach. And apparently Doc is all in on that lineup in Philadelphia. Here's Doc Rivers.
I love coaching. I absolutely love it. But I was not going to just coach anybody. I can tell you that. I was ready to take a break. You know, when Elton called, it was an easy get on the plane and take a look for me. And just when you look at these players, these young players and their potential, the fact that they've had so much success in some ways at the ages that they are already and where I believe they can go, for me is a job you just couldn't turn down. And that's why I'm here. Just really excited about it.
All right. I hope it goes well for him. It just kind of resembles a younger Clippers team where I'm just not quite sure of the star players. Certainly with Ben Simmons and some limitations, Joel Embiid, his commitment, and then you got some, you know, square pegs that you're trying to put in round holes and vice versa. And so, yeah, got a lot of money spent on that roster there. Last night, the Chiefs became the first team ever to open up 4-0 in four consecutive seasons. And prior to that streak, they had started 4-0 just three times in the franchise's first 57 years. And here's Mahomes. He's won 13 consecutive starts. If you include the postseason, he's thrown at least one touchdown pass in all 13 games. And that's a streak that puts him up there with Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and Kenny Stabler. You know, it wasn't a perfect game, but those are the games that fascinate me. You know, you can be throwing four touchdown passes, no interceptions like Aaron Rodgers did, but can you win a game where you might throw for 186, one touchdown, two picks, and you beat a quality opponent? Because you're going to have those games. You know, not everybody is going to be the Atlanta Falcons. And Rodgers did look great last night. The team looked great. But this is a Falcons team that is, you know, leaking oil. And then what I saw with New England, I truly believe if Cam Newton is in there, it's a different game and maybe a different outcome, because that defense was, they had a great game plan. And I do believe every time Belichick has faced Patrick Mahomes, he has had a better performance from his defense each time. So he's figuring it out. The question is, do they get a shot at them in the playoffs? But with Cam instead of Brian Hoyer, Jarrett Stidham, Hoyer goes 15 to 24, one interception. Jarrett Stidham, two interceptions there. You know, Hoyer had a couple of mistakes there. Edelman had the ball go through his hands with Tyrann Mathieu, got the ricochet there. But I think you run the football and just have your secondary, you know, eight guys back there, seven guys back there. And that's what he did last night. Don't blitz Mahomes. And I think that's the game plan. The question is anybody going to be? I still want to know, and I'll sit corrected here on the show, if somebody wins a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. But if you say, hey, they got a good secondary, and they ran the football, and they limited his number of chances on the field, I'd say, yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, Paulie.
When the ball went through Edelman's hands, I think Tyrann Mathieu returned it for a pick six.
Yeah.
I must have got a dozen notes. How's your Hall of Famer now?
And then you said, you mean Tyrann Mathieu?
Yeah.
He's going. Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, we all have. I don't know who came up with it, but the whole show is labeled with Edelman as a Hall of Famer. It isn't fair because we just brought it up as a discussion point.
Yes.
People were coming after you too, Dan. You got the Edelman as a Hall of Famer, and you've said no.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Oh.
He's not.
Other people are wondering if he should play quarterback again next week, by the way.
I shouldn't get lumped in with this. I haven't led the charge. You know, we bring these questions up. And then what was the other question we brought up one time? The Mount Rushmore. and then everybody had their Mount Rushmore. Like, we just throw them out. And then whatever you do with them, you know, good luck. Have fun. Yes, Todd.
When you've often said the history of the Super Bowl can't be written or discussed without Julian Edelman, some, whether rightfully so or not, take that as Julian Edelman should be part of the Hall of Fame because of what he did in the Super Bowls. And that should maybe make him, I'm not saying you said it, but it can be construed as he's a Hall of Famer for what he's meant to the Super Bowls and the National Football League.
That clears it up.
I'm trying to explain why they think that you have him in Canton with a bust because of that line. You can't write the history of the Super Bowl without Julian Edelman.
Thank you, Todd.
Why am I not clearing up right now?
I understand why they think that, but I never said he's a Hall of Famer. I said you can't tell the history of the NFL or the Super Bowl without Julian Edelman.
... And then you know what the people write.
There are other players who had unbelievable Super Bowls, but that doesn't mean they're Hall of Famers. Timmy Smith had a great one. Larry Brown had a great one, but that doesn't mean that they're going into the Hall of Fame. Yes, McLevin.
That's not fair to put Julian Edelman
in. I know. This is short notice here.
But don't you put all the great Steelers teams, you put all those Dolphins, like, so you put all the Patriots in, right?
No, it's different now. Like, you know, the numbers there, it's just different. It's, you know, what we expect out of a wide receiver. Like Lynn Swann with those numbers doesn't get in now.
So Lynn Swann is the Edelman of the 70s
yes.
and 80s.
Yes. After missing two catchable balls last night against Kansas City, Edelman has 11 dropped passes since the start of last season. No other player has more than eight in that span.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what
stat of the day.
I'm not piling on Julian Edelman. Does it feel like I'm trying to distance myself from Julian Edelman being a Hall of Famer? Yes, Paulie.
All those drop passes, that's a show of loyalty for Tom Brady.
Ooh. Well, it's at the start of last season.
Oh, my bad.
Last season.
Back to you.
Yeah. He was dropping some for Tommy.
He actually ran Tom out of town. Thanks, Julian.
Yeah. All right. Busy day in baseball today and tonight. We'll check in with Mark Grant, the Padres analyst. Been doing it a long time. You imagine sitting through those games all of those years when you knew that you weren't going to be good, and here they are facing the Dodgers in the postseason. So we'll talk to Mark. Mark Grant does a good Harry Carey impersonation, so maybe he could judge yours, Todd.
Yeah, I don't think I do a great one.
No, you don't.
So it's just to get made fun of.
Basically. Yeah. Chris Sims will also join us. Are the Chiefs vulnerable? And who is the best team right now in the NFL? So he'll join us coming up a little bit later on. We'll take a break. Coming up on 22 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. I'm going to save you some money. And it's really simple. Because if you have a phone and you're with AT&T of Verizon or T-Mobile, then listen up closely. Because the big carriers lock you in. And they charge you obscene monthly fees for data that you'll never need and perks you'll never use. That is why you switch to Pure Talk USA. Pure Talk only charges you for the data you need. And they're on the exact same towers as those big carriers. You get the same coverage at half the cost. Unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, $20 a month. So the average person is saving $400 a year. Get unlimited talk, text, plus 2 gigs of data, $20 a month. And you can... from your cell phone, dial #250, and all you do is say Dan Patrick, and you immediately save 50% off your first month. So it's #250 and say Dan Patrick. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dial text message from Pure Talk USA. Once again, #250, say Dan Patrick, and save 50% off your first month. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. I'm wondering who the next coach... to get fired is Dan Quinn, Matt Patricia, Adam Gase. And I take no joy in this, but you start to look at, once that first coach is fired, then an owner feels like, okay, it's okay if I'm the second owner to do that. And I was told that Arthur Blank did not want to be the first owner to fire his coach and Dan Quinn. It feels like it's not a question of if, but when. Adam Gase, if it continues, I just don't know how it gets better for the Jets. And the Lions, they keep blowing leads. So Matt Patricia, Dan Quinn, Adam Gase, they'll probably be maybe one or two more coaches that might, vacancies there. And Eric Bieniemy, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, is going to have his choice of jobs there. More phone calls coming up. He has spent 25 seasons as the Padres TV color analyst, the former major league pitcher. Mark Grant joining us now. First pitch, Padres Dodgers NLDS. Game one is tonight at 9:30 Eastern. Been a long time, Mark. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Dan Spastic. It's been a long time since the Padres have been to the postseason. In fact, the last time I watched Padre baseball when they were so bad, I had a six-pack before the sixth inning. As sure as God made green apples, the Chicago Cubs will not be in the World Series this year. How's it going, Dayton Flyer?
Hi, buddy.
Dan, it's been a long time, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, while you're doing your Harry Carey, Todd Fritz has been working on a...
There's a drive! It might be!
I think I got a bell. I should bow out right here.
Home run for Bobby Dernier. And the Cubs take a 5-4 lead in the bottom of the sixth.
Did you ever meet Harry Carey?
I did, and it was a treat. I mean, I grew up in Joliet, Illinois, and you're very much familiar with that. Now, everybody says, you know, you're a product of your environment. Well, I believe you're also a product of your sports environment. I grew up listening to Jack Brickhouse and Harry Carey. Well, Dan, guess what kind of announcer I'm going to be?
if I become an announcer, right? I'm going to be a homer. And, you know, I'm a self-proclaimed homer. I love my Padres. I love the game of baseball. But then again, you know, you got to be critical about your team, too. And believe me, there's been a lot of that over the years. But I love my Friars. I'm so happy for them to be in the playoffs this year.
You got a bobblehead over your shoulder.
Yeah, I know.
It's a small bobblehead.
Can you guess who it is? Or is it too small?
It's too small.
Okay. Do you want me to bring it up over here for you?
Yeah, you can bring it up.
Because I see all your pictures and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I don't have a lot of baseball memorabilia in my house. By the way, I'm sporting my Slam Diego shirt.
Well, you don't have many baseball memories worth having.
You know what? If somebody's got a picture of somebody behind third base by the dugout backing up third, that's probably the picture that I
what,
have.
What is your favorite baseball memory? Like, just to give the audience an idea of the quality of play.
You know what? I had a 1-2-3 inning back in 1988. I think it was August 18th, and it was a day game at Jack Murphy Stadium. It was unbelievable. It was the most exciting. It was like an 8-pitch inning as well. I stuck a strikeout.
Wow.
I got a couple of ground balls, a jam shot to the first baseman.
How many Hall of Famers do you think you struck out in your career?
One that comes to mind is, you know what? You ask any pitcher numbers, and they're going to remember numbers. I remember some numbers. The one that really sticks out, Ozzie Smith was 2-for-20 off me. So, I mean, I struck out Ozzie Smith. Obviously, he was known for his glove. I think he had a fever that day, maybe, or the times that I faced. But gosh, I can't remember, Dan. I know probably your staff there has all those stats.
Face Bonds? Did you face McGuire?
Good question. I faced Barry Bonds, and he never hit a home run off me, but he hit like 465.
But you kept him in the ballpark.
And you know what? I remember I was announcing my first 5 or 6 years, whatever, and Barry was with the Giants, and I told him, hey, I own you. Never hit a home run off me. So somebody, I said, I'll bet you $1 I hit a home run off you. I said, okay, you're on. So the statistician back then, you know, there was no internet, so they checked the numbers. No home runs, but 465 or whatever it was. So he gave me the dollar bill, and he signed it. He goes, I owned you. 435 average, no home runs. So that was pretty cool.
All right. The Padres kind of captured people's imagination here. You got a lot of young talent there. I'm curious, Mark Grant the pitcher, as opposed to Mark Grant the homer for the Padres, how you would react to Tatis hitting a grand slam and having a bat flip.
As a pitcher, and I'll be quite honest with you, if I was out there pitching, it would probably disrupt my timing. It would probably tick me off, no doubt about it. But as I've grown older and balder and fatter, I think that these unwritten rules sometimes are kind of just tear them up, throw them away. The game has changed so much, Dan, and you know that. I mean, the entertainment value, you know, the old MLB adage, let the kids play. I'm all for that. I don't think Fernando or anybody is really showing up a pitcher. It's the excitement of the game. I mean, let's face it, the media we have these days just has these guys every single moment watching what they're doing when they're at bat, when they're on the mound or whatever. So, in fact, we talked about this after the fact. When Fernando did that, I said, my bottom line was, you know what, as a pitcher now, pitch better. What are we supposed to do 3-0? Hitters are just supposed to lay down the bat and then give the hitter a free strike. And then just, lay it in there, give the pitcher a free strike. Now it's 3-1. Now he makes that really, really good pitch. You kind of take it at the knees. Okay, now it's 3-2. Now what do I do? I'm really protecting, roll something over, you know, whatever. So my philosophy is bottom line, pitch better. Make a better pitch, 3-0.
I love it. And I think you have to attract a whole new generation here. Now, I don't want it to be gimmicky, but let's have some. I don't know if people. I don't think there's enough celebrating the game itself, and it feels like old school. Hey, these are the rules or the unwritten rules, and I loved what Tatis did.
I think it's organic. I really do. And when you look around baseball, Dan, I think a lot of it is organic because the guys are. And once you get to know these guys too, it's very, very important to know that it is organic. They're not just making this up. And I want to know where it's written. To where, you know, times have changed, no doubt about it. But I want to know where it's written that baseball was a tennis match where it was a game to where you're supposed to be proper. And, you know, I'm all about not showing up the opponents. Don't get me wrong, but showing emotion, I think, is a huge part. And you're absolutely right. With this crop of talent that we have, especially I'm speaking for San Diego, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., the whole shooting match. I mean, it's about time to where these guys go out there and show some emotion. And, you know, when a guy hits a home run and he bat flips and he looks at his teammates in the dugout and does the old, you know, fist pump or whatever the case may be, you know, fans love that. I love that. It's the emotion of the game, and I have no problem with it.
How do the Padres beat the Dodgers?
Well, it's going to have to be well, first of all, the pitching is a big question mark. Any baseball fan out there who's been watching, Denelson Lament, Mike Clevenger. Clevenger hasn't pitched since the 23rd. There's a chance that he might get a start. Lamet hasn't pitched since the 25th of September. So I think the Achilles heel for the Padres is the starting pitching. There's no question about that. They were 6-4 against the Dodgers this year. How did they beat him? They beat Buehler earlier this year. They beat Kershaw once this year. They're going to have to grind out at-bats. I know it sounds like a lot of cliches, but these guys are good pitchers. Let's face it. The Dodgers, when you look at their pitchers, when healthy, they've got really good pitchers. It's going to be tough to beat. I think one of the games is going to be possibly a bullpen game for the Padres. How about that? Using 9 pitchers in a game, major league record. One of them probably going to be a slugfest. You know, teams can't get to Kershaw, can't get to Buehler. But avoid the strikeouts. I think that's one thing, Dan. I remember, gosh, you talked about watching bad baseball for many years. My goodness. Over the course of some seasons, after a ball game, there would be, count them, 4 innings of strikeouts. 4 innings of Padre hitters striking out. That is not fun to call. That is not fun to watch.
Did you cry when they clinched a playoff spot?
I got a little emotional. Yeah, I did. And I'll tell you why. After watching so many, well, first of all, wearing the Padre uniform for 3 years, and living here in San Diego and having the gig that I do have, you know, you grow attached to your team. And I was sick and tired of the Dodgers coming into town and kicking our you-know-whats around. Kicking their you-know-whats around. I'm not on the team, but I say our. I was sick and tired of the Cardinals coming to town. I was sick. You get the idea. I was sick and tired of people treating the Padres like the doormat of the National League, coming in and say, oh yeah, we'll sweep them 3 games. They're horrible. You know, we'll be in their bullpen in the 3rd inning, which was true, but still, I was sick and tired of it. It was accumulation of everything more for the fans that have endured such brutal baseball over the years, very lean years, to finally have something to cheer about. And it all of a sudden it just kind of got to me. And it was like, gosh, that family in La Mesa that's been following the Padres since the PCL days, that family in Escondido that's been loving the Padres since 1970. You know where I'm going with this. So yeah. It was an accumulation of everything, wearing the uniform, getting their butts kicked, and then finally getting a chance to go to the postseason since 2006. It just kind of all hit me. So.
And, you know, if you're watching on Peacock, Mark Grant has got some things in the background there. But you're one of the first guests. Now, who is that? That is
Dwayne Kuiper.
Oh, the famous broadcaster there, Dwayne Kuiper.
Yep. Dwayne is probably my dearest friend in baseball.
Light hitting Dwayne Kuiper.
Hi, Dwayne Kuiper, 1 home run off of Steve Stone as a Cleveland Indian. Yep.
But I do love that you got pull sticks there, but you don't have a pool table, which is interesting in your man cave there. Like, that's a nice little touch that it looks like you have a pool table.
Well, you know what? I do have a pool table. My iPad is propped up on 3 pillows right here.
No, it's okay, Mark. I understand. You don't have it. You don't have a pool table.
But I'm actually sitting in old stadium seats from old Comiskey Park back in Chicago. There, remember the green wooden... Yeah. So anyway, that's about the only thing I have. This is the only baseball thing I have in my house right here.
A Dwayne Kuiper bobblehead doll.
Yeah. The light hitting second baseman, the captain, Dwayne Kuiper. So,
well, good luck and have fun.
Thanks. You know, do you remember the last time we hung out?
Should we talk about it?
I can tell you where we were and when it was.
Okay.
1991, Atlanta, Georgia. Jocks and Jills.
Yeah. Craig Sager's bar.
You, we, Yeah, that's right. God rest his soul. Yep, Craig Sager's bar. And we were just yucking it up, having a good time. Of course, that was the year that the Braves went to the World Series in 1991. I was hurt. I was the official cheerleader of the team. I did not pitch one inning that year, and that's why the Braves were so successful.
So does this count as hanging out, and is this fate that we're reuniting?
In this day and age, yes, this is hanging out. Anytime I can look at my iPad and see. I mean, you look great.
Thank you.
I mean, oh my gosh. You still have your hair?
Yeah. Yeah,
you still look great.
And I feel bad because, you know, I always enjoyed hanging around you, but there was no reason to have you on the show because you hadn't done anything successfully. And so, I mean, no offense, Mark, I just I couldn't have you on. Hey, another Padre season where you won 68 games.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm happy that we can reconnect because the Padres are bringing us together.
Yeah, I can. The only success, let's see. All those bad years, I had some great food in the press area. I gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Ate a lot of yogurt, frozen yogurt. You know, all those Padre losses were like tilted evenly because there was a great yogurt machine in the press dining room or something. Nice. Like that. That's why I loved going to the Padre games back then, is because of the yogurt. The baseball wasn't so good, but the yogurt.
How many losses have you been a part of as a broadcaster with the Padres? Have you totaled it up?
Well, I started in 1996. This being my 25th season, and I would say the teams that were above 500 were. Well, 96 was 98, 2006. There were some good years there, middle 2000, 2007, 2008. Maybe fewer than 10?
No, the total of losses, like the number of games that you've watched the Padres lose in 25
years. It's got to be over 1,000, right?
You know what? I'll get my stat guy to do it.
And 1996.
And by the way, and have you ever been mistaken for Steve, the Jerry Springer bodyguard, Steve Wilkos?
Steve Wilkos.
Yeah. Have you ever been mistaken for him?
I have never. I have never. No. Uncle Fester, yes.
I can see also a little Cal Ripken in you, too. Very little. No, very,
like a fat?
Very, very little. It's the hair.
Fat Cal Ripken?
Cal was a better pitcher. I'm being mean-spirited here. I never got to pitch in the show.
That's okay.
Yes.
That's the Dan Patrick I know.
Of course.
Right.
Hey, great to catch up with you, and I'll talk to you in 25 years.
So let's see, 25 years, I'll be 40. I'll be 57 this month. I'll see you. I'll have my walker and I'll have my Metamucil with me and all that good stuff.
Paulie, put it in the rundown.
Done.
To call Mark Grant in 25 years. Thank you, buddy.
Dan, be well. Go Pods.
That's Mark Grant, 25 seasons, Padres color analyst there. I forgot the last time that he was one of those guys. Just keep supplying him with beers, and he supplies you with laughs. A lot of fun to be around. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Aaron Rodgers was asked since they're heading into a bye week, but he can't travel because of COVID. And what did Rodgers think about that? He said, it sucks. It totally sucks. Obviously, it is what it is, especially as an older player. I look forward to the bye weeks. It is what it is. We'll be here. We'll make the most of it, but it sucks. Now, in most years, Rodgers would be able to travel and during a bye week there. But the NFL Players Association agreed on a new policy that requires players to stay in their home cities during their bye week so they can be tested daily to limit any potential outbreaks. Yeah, I understand it. I mean, that's part of the game plan here. Can't let everybody travel all over the country during a bye week. Probably not a lot to do in Green Bay during a bye week. I think that's what Aaron is saying. Fritzy goes, is Aaron Rodgers taking a shot at Green Bay? And I went, I don't know.
Sucks. I got to stay here in Green Bay when I usually go on a fishing trip or something.
Well, I don't know if he's saying it sucks because I have to stay here. It sucks because I can't go someplace else. He'd get a mini vacation out of this. So I don't know if he's saying that. After all these years, now he says that it sucks in Green Bay during a bye week?
After that Jordan Love pick, all of a sudden it soured on the whole city.
Yeah. If Jordan Love wasn't in Green Bay, then it would be fine.
He'd say, it's awesome that I get to stay here and I can't go on vacation.
We just came up with a question, and I don't know what the answer is, but do you have a policy when it comes to who your partner has dated before? So prior to getting married, and Seton and McLovin and I were on the basketball floor just talking about this. Now, I don't want to know anything. There's nothing good that can come out of it. But even when you first meet, I don't want to know. You know, hey, were you almost engaged? Or were you engaged? I don't want to know anything about that. Yes, Seton. You have a policy?
I don't know that we did have a policy. But I mean, I know, like that we've all had a life before that. I mean, we've talked about people that we've dated sort of like in conversation.
But how does it come up in conversation?
Well, it depends. Like sometimes you're like Andrew just told a story about how he traveled to Juneau, Alaska, and you're like, oh, I went there with an ex once.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a pretty natural thing to come
up. But did you tell your wife about going to Juneau, Alaska, McLovin, with a girlfriend?
No, but I would. And she, you know, once you have kids, I feel like that part of your life is gone. So it's okay to talk about it.
Man, I don't think so. Paulie, you got a policy?
I like to know nothing. I do know nothing. I don't talk a lot about mine. I had a situation once where I took my daughter to daycare, my young daughter, very young, 1 year old. And one of the other moms dropping her similar 1 year old daughter of a daycare was a girl I used to hang out with quite a bit. And before I met my wife. So now the circles got intertwined.
Did
a
you
bit.
Tell your wife that you dated her?
Yes, I was forthcoming. I jumped out of the grenade, but it's, you don't want any part of it. You know, I don't want to know hers. She doesn't want to know mine.
No, there's nothing good that comes out of this. Yes, yeah,
typically no. Typically no. Nothing good comes out of it.
Todd,
I'm a bit insecure. If you guys just met me, so I'll take a walk down memory lane out loud without my wife asking for any of the questions about what's going on in my past. Not that I was a gigolo or had some great past, but
yeah. But does she do the same?
She does not, because again, she's more secure and she doesn't need to do that. But I will say that about a week or so ago, my daughter saw some old picture from some book. I don't know what kind of book she's keeping, but she's like, "Who is that boy or guy next to you?" Oh, that was my boyfriend Mike back in high school. And then I hear my daughter say, "Oh, he was really cute." And that wasn't necessarily a shot at me, but I don't need to hear my daughter talking about that there's some good-looking ex-boyfriend that my wife went out with in high school. So that was
a little
strange.
In high school.
I know, but it was still strange.
I that's not bad. I mean,
like if it was like, who's this guy next to you? Like, oh, that's Jim the billionaire that I dated just before your father. Then you'd be like, ah, dang, that sucks. Now you're stuck with me and you could have been with Jim the billionaire. I wonder why Jim the billionaire didn't work out. That must be a really tough break for you, huh? Honey, what do you want for dinner? That sucks, but your high school boyfriend, at a certain point, you got to be like an adult.
Yeah, that's where you have to clean out your scrapbooks and just make sure that there's no remnants of anything.
Yeah, if you have like an old bin with notes and stuff and pictures.
Yeah, letters from an ex.
It
will be found.
Valentine's cards.
Let it go.
Yes. I still have that plate that had the veggies on it from Simone in Sheepshead Bay there. Should I have thrown that plate out that had the little crudite? No.
Does your wife have a plate?
I hope not. There is a drawer that she told me not to open up. There's a drawer like right under the lamp on the side of the bed. I'm not allowed to touch that. I don't know what's going on in there.
Final hour coming up.